God of glory, we know that you are coming at an unexpected hour. Come to us now in spirit and truth. Take us up in your presence and make us ready for your reign of peace through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Okay, are there announcements?
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship this morning. We welcome Catherine this morning, Pastor John's wife. We're very happy to have you with us this morning. Thank you for braving the threat of the storm this morning, and for all of you to brave the threat of the storm this morning. There will be no coffee hour this morning, just so you know, and seems like there was something else I was going to say. We welcome Shannon Richards, our flutist, this morning to help us with the choir anthem and the canticle for lighting the Advent wreath this morning. And also a special thank you to the deacons and their friends who decorated the nave and our other spaces this morning to help us get in the proper mindset for Advent. So that's it for my announcements. Linda, do you have some?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good morning. Guess what's over? Turkey baskets are over. Yay. Unfortunately, I've been so busy that I did not put together all the numbers. So next week, I will provide you with all the numbers. We did serve 245 baskets out of this church. And not at 10 after 12 on Wednesday, the turkeys had left the building, all of them. So it was a wonderful experience. Thank you, Mary, for bringing your group over. They were totally workaholics that day, and they were very well behaved, I have to say, also. Good. And thank you for all of your help, for all of you that were here helping. Without all of you helping, it doesn't happen. I can't do it all, and I'm really grateful for that. So thank you so much.
Today is the first Sunday in Advent. Advent is a time of waiting as we prepare to celebrate the birth of the Messiah, Jesus. It is a time when we are reminded that the birth we celebrate represents that the hope God sees in granting life is ever present in us. It is a time for us to walk in the light God gives us.
As part of our period of Advent waiting, today we will light a candle in our Advent wreath to remind us of the hope which was and can be found in the waiting of the birth of the Messiah.
The round shape of the wreath reminds us of the unbroken promise of the love of God. The green branches speak of new life promised in the salvation God offers. The candles remind us of the light which came into the world, called Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah.
Today, as we light the first candle, let us allow the flickering flame to remind us that our hope is lived out in prayer and in action, in worship and in work. Please join us in the unison prayer found in the bulletin. Dear God, through your Spirit, you spoke to the prophets about a vision of life in which hope abides. You spoke to Mary and Joseph of a child who would bring new life to the world. Speak to each of us this day and fill us with Advent hope as we prepare, celebrate the birth of Jesus. Amen. Let us be as one as we sing the hymn 112, Keep Awake, Be Always Ready.
peace of Christ be with you all. Let us share the peace with one another. Okay, thanks.
Come with gratitude and joy to the table of the Lord. Bring the works of your hands and gifts of your lives as an offering of praise. Ushers.
Praise God from whom all blessings come. Praise Christ in whom all praise we know. Praise to the Spirit evermore. One God triune whom we
We give you thanks and praise, O God, that you have built us up in faith and bound us together in love. By your grace, may all that we do show the glory of your name and serve the good of your people through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us be as one as we sing the communion hymn, "That all mortal flesh keep silent," number 345, verses 1 and 2. Scripture is from Isaiah, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Judgment announced on arrogance. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord."
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and the one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. I recall that this last month at the trustees meeting, it was mentioned that the expectation was that there would be no real snow here until December. And it's December 1st. And we will see if we get any real snow. And so I'll be focusing on the Isaiah text. This is a well-known text. This has a promise of peace with justice. Also, in Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, we see the same promise given word for word. And so the scholars of different minds as to, did Isaiah come first and then Micah, or was it the other way around, or perhaps there was an additional editorial addition to both texts. But let's look at how the future promise of peace with justice is to unfold as Isaiah gives it. First, the mountain of the Lord's house, which is Zion, will be elevated and exalted. Second, people from all nations will pilgrimage to that holy mountain. And this is a faithful journey to a holy place. Third, the people will call out, they will sing, O God of Jacob, teach us God's ways. Fourth, then, instruction will be given out of Zion, the word of God from Jerusalem. And finally, God will judge and settle disputes of the many people and between nations. Instruments of war making will be transformed into peacemaking instruments, peacemaking tools. War will come to an end, and we will study war no more. That is, we will prepare for war no more. The vision shared in Isaiah and Micah is for peace with justice. This is a very different peace than the peace of empire, Pax Imperial, or Pax Romana as one imperial peace, which is an imposed peace, an oppressive peace. Israel was once a kingdom, but never an empire. Throughout the Bible, the people suffer under one imperial peace after another, as slaves in Egypt under Pharaoh, in Babylon during the exile, and under Roman occupation. The peace of empire is imposed, and it is opposed to God's ways. The peace with justice vision in Isaiah is not imposed. The people of the nations voluntarily consent to come to Zion. They consent to learn God's ways. They are moved to take action that results in an end to war and war preparations and makes for peace. The United Nations, which is to say the people of all nations, has set November 24th through December 10th as 16 days of action focused on the elimination of violence against women. How might the biblical vision of peace with justice be translated into concrete action by the faith community? How might the faith community join in taking action to eliminate violence against women? For nearly a quarter of a century, I have served a series of congregations with these questions burning in my heart, for they go to the heart of my call as a minister for a faith-rooted, nonviolent action, and specifically to end gender-based violence. Mobilizing the faith community to end gender-based violence is a concrete and real way of living into the biblical vision that we see given in Isaiah, transforming swords into plowshares, studying war no more. Greg Sattell, in his book Cascades, which is about creating movements of transformative change, identifies several principles on which these change movements are grounded. And the first of these is identify a keystone change. This keystone change defines a vision of tomorrow. In the words of Sergei Popovich, who was one of the leaders of a nonviolent revolution in Serbia about 20 years ago, imagine the church as a safe place for women who've been abused or sexually assaulted. Imagine the sea change that would bring to our community. Imagine a process like the process this church went through of becoming an open and affirming congregation, a process to become a nonviolent church. Becoming a nonviolent church that was a safe place, that is a sanctuary from violence, from the violence that takes place in our most intimate relationships. Becoming a nonviolent church that took proactive, even assertive, nonviolent action to eliminate violence against women. Becoming a nonviolent church that makes real positive difference in the lives of 1 out of 3 women who experience gender-based violence. The process of becoming a nonviolent church is a tangible and concrete goal for a congregation to work toward. Like much transformative change, this will start small, a small group, a congregation, one small group, one congregation. Successful change movements build networks of small groups, but networks start with one small group. A network of nonviolent church congregations will start with one congregation. As we begin today a new church year on the first Sunday of Advent, and during this time when all of the nations, that is the United Nations, call us to eliminate violence against women. Let us be that one small group, that one congregation that becomes a nonviolent church. Amen. My heart sings out in joyful praise. Let us stand as we are able. 106, my heart stands out in joyful praise. Be seated. Yes, are there prayer concerns, joys and concerns of the congregation?
We need to hold Erica, our choir member, up in prayer, as she suffering some health setbacks.
I'd just like to remember our granddaughter Lisa, who lost her father suddenly about 4 weeks ago. It's a tough time on this holiday season.
A joy that we made it round trip to Columbus, Ohio and back. We cut it short by one day because we saw the weather was bad, and a joy that we reconnected with three nieces that we haven't seen in a long time. They're now in their late 20s, adults, and we had a blast.
And your name?
Emma, Abby, and Hope.
We're thankful that our kids got home safely yesterday.
I'm happy that my family visited for Thanksgiving. We had a wonderful time, and I'm asking for prayers for safe travel back home.
Let us enter into time of prayer. Dear God, we thank you for being with us this past week. We thank everyone who gathered together to make the Thanksgiving boxes a success for all of the work that went in to make that happen, for all of the turkeys that flew away to be with families and help those families have a good Thanksgiving dinner together. We ask that they might be blessed, all of the families that got the boxes. We thank you for the people who gathered yesterday to decorate and hanging of the greens, decorate the church for the Advent and Christmas season. We thank you that you have blessed us, and we thank you for the blessings of friends and families that gathered in our community and in our families throughout the country for Thanksgiving Day. We thank with joy the gathering together of families like with Emma and Abby and Hope. We give thanks for children and, in my case, parents that have traveled home safely. We ask blessings for Pat's family that they might have safe travel, and everyone who might be on the roads traveling home, especially in this coming storm. We lift in our prayers those who are ill in body, mind, or spirit, who suffer in any way or are healing. We lift in our prayers Erica and Barbara. We lift in our prayers Lisa as she continues to grieve of the loss of her father. We surround her with our prayers. We lift in our prayers Catherine as she continues to heal from her eye surgery. We hold in our prayers those we lift up in our hearts to you. We ask that your healing power might come upon each of these people and bring them to your wholeness, and remind each of us that nothing in all creation separates any one of us from your love for us through Jesus Christ. We pray for those who are having birthdays this week, especially Pat and Pete. We ask that they might celebrate with joy and gratitude. These prayers, the prayers of our hearts, we lift to you, dear God. We give you thanks and praise. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now let us stand as we are able with the first three verses of O Little Town of Bethlehem, which is 133. About that day and hour no one knows. Therefore keep awake, for you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. Be ready, for the Lord will come at an unexpected hour. And may the grace of peace, the love of God, and the Spirit's joy surround you as you walk in the light of the Lord. Amen. Let us sing verse 4.